Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, this needs to get thrown out.
I feel like I can smell it now. That's atrocious.
I'm going to throw this out. At Joe DeLeo, at Sanderson Radio. Thank you. Oh, God, I need to throw this out.
You're such a slob. Throw it up.
And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself.
You showed up for like probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax.
If you say,
give me as well.
Three times a day, God will line it up.
He's just an absolute hack, and he gets his ass kicked by his teammates every week. It's just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. And today we are sharing with you our top five wide receivers returning in college football in 2024. Guys like Luther Burden. You know what's a... Is it Teteroa? How the hell do you pronounce this kid's name? Maybe
I was waiting for you.
Is it... You're waiting for me to mispronounce Teteroa?
Yeah. Oh, no. Just name? Give me a proper pronunciation.
I think it's Teteroa. I want to say that it's Teteroa. Well, I'm going to leave this open in the show. I think that one of the most... difficult things in doing a show, and I do three different shows. I do two college football shows, two very different college football shows, and a draft show. And one of the most complex, also most controversial things seemingly recently is mispronouncing names. And some of these names are really goddamn hard to say. So I'm going to quickly look it up while you do the read. Sean, we've got a really interesting... I was going to ask how your weekend was, but we've got an interesting story. Don't get into that yet, but can you share...
I don't like you chirping out a bunch of orders at the top of the show, but I'll tell the people about
BetOnline. Do what I say, okay?
I'll tell them that it's the number one source for all your summer sports this season. Oh, does the ambulance want to chime in on the read too? Gotcha. You can join. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups. I've got an obtrusive Boston Celtics fan sitting in my living room right now that I haven't spoken with purposely because they look like a bit of a wagon in the East. I think I may, you may just have to bet on every game until they get to the finals. That's what I like. I think it's a smart play. They looked good. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online where the game starts.
One sec. I'm trying to figure out this name pronunciation.
Okay.
Wait.
Let me see if I had any other plays off the top of my head. Some baseball plays for Sunday. It's all right. I mean,
they call him T-Mac. The commentators completely mailed it in. They called him T-Mac. So you know what? We're going to mail it in.
That's lame.
It was an ESPN broadcast too.
I know. They're lame.
God, what a bunch of... Okay, if you're a sports commentator, you of all people should take the... you get a name pronunciation sheet. Pronounce it. T-Mac, are you fucking kidding me? God. Top five wide receivers for the college football season. They are commentators for us. They are public servants for helping us figure out how to pronounce names, I would argue.
Look, everyone deserves the respect of having their name pronounced, correctly as it's supposed to be pronounced. At times it can be challenging. I can certify on this show that Joe and I mean zero ill will during a mispronunciation. I will, if you were to go back and read all of the, or listen to all of the shows, Joe mispronounces his own name, Joe, many times in the intro. It happens. I combed through them. I wanted to be nice this last cycle and not clip them all up. But he can't say Joe. I can't say cylindrical. All right. There are words we're not great with.
You just said it pretty great. Home run right there.
I said it quietly, though. If I tried to put bass in my voice when I said it was going to be a mess.
I found a video. I think it's Teteroa, the way that I pronounced it. Apologies to T-Mac if we're saying it wrong. We're not going to mail it in. We're not going to be like those terrible ESPN commentators.
It's also weak because there is another T-Mac already. Sorry. Tracy McGrady took T-Mac. That's taken. You have to figure something else out.
All right, I'm going to start us off as we've done far this cycle of preparing in the offseason. We've gone alternating, starting from five down to one. My number five guy is one that I had to find a way to place on my list, but he certainly did not at all produce in 2024 because he was dealing with some injuries. He was not fully available. So I wanted to at least give him the benefit of the doubt of reminding everybody that this guy is a very elite receiver. And there's a really good chance that he can maybe even be the first receiver drafted in 2025 in the 2025 NFL draft. I am talking about Emeka Abuka at Ohio State. 6'1", 206. Last year, he only had 41 receptions for 515 yards and four touchdowns. I want to say that he still played a good chunk of games, but he still didn't have that same level of presence, especially because of all of the offensive woes and issues that were going on. But you could kind of tell that Emeka Abuka was not at his full strength. We do remember from the year prior, though, he was one of the best receivers in the country. There was almost even an internal debate that maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Abuka were 1 and 2 in the upcoming NFL draft class. I think that if he comes back to full health and with Chip Kelly orchestrating the ball getting delivered to him, his stats are going to go right back to the 2022 numbers that we know him for. So Emeka Abuka might not have done as well in 2023 as we have hoped, but he deserves to be number five on my list.
I believe so. I have him at number four on my list because as I disagree with Ohio State being wide receiver university, as they like to claim they are, just because you send a lot of dudes to the league, you send a lot of A-tier wide receivers. No one can knock you for it, mm-hmm. but you're not sending out the S-tier true game-breaker wide receivers that, you know, LSU has thrown out. And this is not me glazing LSU. It's just they don't have two better wide receivers than Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. So that's tough. But they produce very, very good college wide receivers. Every one of them is like a pro in college. They Heartline gets these guys pro-ready, I think, freshman year. And if you're not playing freshman year, that's because you're still not pro-ready. And you got to be pro-ready to play wide out at Ohio State. So I had him at four. It was pretty easy. He's smooth. And they're all the Ohio State wide receivers follow the same pattern. We're going to get you over 6 foot. You're going to have great routes, good hands, and you're going to be fast enough. You're not a burner, but you're going to do all the things that separates a college receiver from an NFL receiver now. Get that going, and that's why you look so good. So I think he belongs on the list. I have him at four. I was happy with him. I will go with my number five here. That's Trey Harris, Ole Miss. Mm. I was dancing with putting him on my list or not, but the more I watched his tape, the more I couldn't leave myself room to deny his ability as a receiver. He gives me a bit of a Pierre Garçon vibe when he's catching the ball. Sometimes he can get gone. Sometimes it's just third down conversion when you really need it. Big body, good hands. Grown man playing wide receiver in the SEC. He's not the first one to do that, but Ole Miss has a very good wide receiver. Trey Harris, I think, belongs on my list for sure.
Also, just really quickly to add in with Emeka Abuka, it was found an article from the Buckeyes News on Fan Nation that had referenced he had tightrope surgery, which it seems like he kind of tried to battle through it. That was the context that I probably should have had in my pre-show notes. But I like Trey Harris. I think that there were a couple of games where Trey Harris completely exploded and dominated, and we really started to see like, oh, this guy could be up next. I think that he is the perfect guy to throw at like a number five spot in a ranking because he could end up being a breakout candidate. And speaking of a breakout candidate, my number four, I think, is the perfect definition of potentially breaking out. He had a great play in the Oklahoma spring game. He is somebody that I've been pounding the table for a very long time now. And I'm referring to Deion Burks from Oklahoma, previously at Purdue. Despite not really having a competent quarterback throwing him the football at Purdue, he was taking the tops off of defenses. He is explosive after the catch. He is 0 to 60. I think he is also very shifty. He's a strong route runner. We saw that in the Oklahoma spring game when he took one to the house. I think that Oklahoma offensively is going to be more competent than people think. They might not end up being a 10-win team because they've got a brutal schedule, but Deion Burks deserves more love because the talent is there, and he's now presented in a situation where he's going to have every opportunity to succeed.
Yeah, I'm looking at this play from the spring game right now. Let's see. Arnold,
I'm dick riding him so hard.
Oh, Jesus, Joe, come on.
Sorry, that was a little graphic.
There's different ways to say that. I'm not going to say there's better ways to say that, but there's different ways to say that. Come on. Yeah,
give me a different way then.
Do you want a redo? I'll give you a redo.
Well, I could say glazing. That's the other option.
Or I'm a fan of his game. How about that?
No, that's not
fun.
I'm
a fan of his game.
That's boring.
I'm dick riding him. That's what at least, you know what? You're admitting it. That's cool. But there's just, you know what? That's fine. You owned up to it. Can I give my number three? I like the Burks pick. You've now thrown me in a blender. Yeah. I'm just going to get out of it real quick. I already gave my four. Three for me, Zachariah Branch, USC. I am so high on this dude.
I like that one.
I am so high on him that I'm willing to take the arrows in the offseason. I'm willing because he was a freshman last year. He didn't load up the stat sheet. He didn't take USC to the playoff or even win the Pac-12 for him. I get it. But he's so dynamic. He's so good. He's just, when he's on the screen, you get the feeling when the ball's in his hands that he's going to break one every time he touches it. That you can't replicate that. You just, very different than Trey Harris. The very opposite feeling. Trey Harris, ball secured, great, good play. Zachariah, show us what you could do with the ball. That's two different feelings. They're good. They're both good wide receivers, but I just think Branch is so scary in the return game also that he's points. He's points when he's on the field, and you just got to get him the ball and scheme him the ball a little bit. People can say, oh, you could have thrown it to him more. Who's throwing it to him this year? Whatever. He's number three. He's that dynamic.
I'm really kicking myself I didn't put him on. You know, I'm like really, really kicking myself that I didn't include him. I almost had a quick second there. I'm like, should I pretend he was my number three? I agree with you, though. He's one of those dudes who can just score any second that he touches the football. And he is unbelievably exciting. Like he was one of those few guys at the beginning of the season where everybody in week zero was like, oh my God, this guy is going to be a star in 2 years when he like really fully develops.
And I know that first game, week zero, they were playing San Jose State, but San Jose State was giving USC the business for a lot of that game. And a lot of the reason that USC won that game was because of Branch taking one back to the house and just him being that electric. He's just so fast. I'm all in way too early. I know I'm going to gas myself out before the season. I'm going to sound like a broken record, but yeah, there's not much that could take me off of rooting for him.
My number three was another former Pac-12er, now future Big Tenner, Tez Johnson from Oregon, who this past year had 14 games, had 86 receptions for 1,182 yards and 10 touchdowns. I thought that Tez Johnson, I was more impressed at times with his consistent impact on a game-to-game basis. I thought that his game was a little bit more exciting than Troy Franklin's, which gets a lot of love this year in the upcoming NFL draft. I just think that Tez Johnson could, now that he is the premier guy and he's going to be playing alongside Evan Stewart, who I had a little bit of a debate on if I wanted to go Evan Stewart or if I wanted to go Tez Johnson here. But yeah, I think that the two of them are going to help each other. And a guy that already had 1,100 yards is going to produce more now that he is the primary guy in the offense.
Johnson's quick twitch is so good. It really is. When he gets the ball, that first move. And I think he's taken some of that. He's trying to incorporate some of the CD Lamb first step spin move after the catch. I saw that a couple times where even if it wasn't a spin, it was catch immediate move. Just work that in immediately. That's a really good, grabby, flashy play. I didn't have him on my list, though. He was just off of it. He just didn't grab me as much when I was watching him. I just thought, hey, I could pick him or I could pick Zachariah Branch, and I opted to go with Branch.
Who's your number three? Oh, you three.
Yeah.
Your number three. Who you got?
I already gave my number three. Would it be back to my number two now?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think how we ended up here. Yeah, go to your... You didn't miss anyone on your list that we all got to?
Harris, Emeka Igbuka, Zachariah Branch, and now I have two and one, and I'm pretty certain our twos and ones are the same.
Yeah, I think they're identical. So, Tetero McMillan?
Yep. T-Mac, representing at number two, a physical, just big jump ball receiver if you need it, catch and run receiver if you need it, can run a slant, a hook if you need it. He's an if you need it, make a big play at the right time wide receiver. Arizona, maybe we start getting better. They were getting better. I think they are getting better, and they have momentum. That's why he's staying, because I'm sure he fielded a lot of phone calls. He had to. It's a good spot. He's a good receiver. He deserves number two. Unfortunately, there's just a guy that I can't get over at number one.
Mm. Tetero McMillan, I watched him from a more of a draft perspective yesterday, and I got really excited watching him. He's one of those guys who's just enormous. He plays like a basketball player with the way that he just boxes guys out. There was one play that he had against USC where he had like two guys draped on him. The ball was thrown up in the air, and he just jumps, plucks it out of the air, lands like nothing.
It was a box out with a safety coming in to crash on him. I know the exact play you're talking about.
It was an alley-oop ball that was thrown to him, and he made the play, and his film is littered with that. He's a pretty good route runner, and I think that he's pretty mobile for his size. I will say at times on film, I do get a little sketched out if he can have consistent separation, because he's like probably more of a 4'6 guy. But God, man, his impact is unbelievable. And I think that he is only going to get better this upcoming year, especially because Noah Fifita is coming back. Number one is the obvious one for the both of us.
Yeah.
Luther Burden was a spark plug for Missouri this past year. A little spotty in some games, but he is a yak monster. He's physical. He's built like a running back and almost plays receiver like a running back. I tweeted out, he reminds me of Deebo Samuel. Ryan Roberts says that he reminds him of Golden Tate. I think he's like the perfect blend of the two, where you put him in the backfield, you give him the ball, you run him a jet sweep, you throw him the ball over the middle, and he's going to create havoc. He can beat you over the top. I think that he's got a very diverse impact that he has in the college game that translates so well to the NFL. I think he could project as like a mid first round pick. And I think that this upcoming year, his production is going to go through the roof. If we had to pick a Biletnikoff winner, I'm picking Luther Burden. I don't think anyone is going to say otherwise.
I really like Luther Burden. And what I like about him most is just watching him play. You realize whoever drafts him, you could pair him up with a rookie quarterback, and that rookie quarterback's life would be tremendous. It would be way easier. You could pair him with a bridge quarterback guy and him get along great. You could throw him on a team with a great vet. And it's like, oh, here's Pro Bowler Luther Burden right out the gate. Doesn't matter. He's going to make your quarterback better. That's what he does. He reminds me, at least, of his play style a little bit of Terry McLaurin. Just makes your quarterback better there. And the yak is huge also. Nothing makes a quarterback more confident than, and I know it's you could call it cheesing, but nothing makes a quarterback more confident than throwing a little pass and watch it go for 60. Watch it go for 40. And what did it have? Six yards traveled in the air, distance wise. Sure, look at Luther go. It's huge. It's huge for the team to have a guy that can have so much impact. He's the clear number one, and I'll be tuning into way more Mizzou games than I expected to this year because he's going to be on the field.
Their success, admittedly, lives and dies on what he does.
Yes,
their success is going on his shoulders, which is a lot to throw on a kid who's going into his third year as a starter, playing on an SEC team. But they lost their defensive coordinator. They lost a couple of defensive starters. Brady Cook has been steady. He's had some good games. He's had some low lights. Cody Schrader's gone. Lost some offensive linemen. But Missouri's still considered to be this great up-and-coming program that's developing. I think that if they have a big year, it's going to be because he has like a Heisman type season. And I know that's a lot of pressure to throw at him, but
Devontae Smith,
they kind of need it. Right. Well, that was it.
Yeah.
It's a little
still strange. It's a wide receiver. We don't see that very often, Joe.
All right. Moving on to other topics that we've got.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You in the show lore, I think this is a very interesting event that happened this weekend. You ran into Cam Rogers. So we reference this all the time. Cam Rogers is a host with Believe, where I used to work as a full-time employee. I'm no longer a full-time employee at Believe. I work at a different company now. And he is also the community manager. So he has been employee number one. I have interacted with him a ton. I shared a room with him at the Super Bowl. He is a very interesting guy. He's a betting host. He is a golf and Tiger enthusiast. Mm-hmm. Little over the top sometimes. He means well.
Yeah.
Cam, if you do listen to this, very me first. He travels around with sometimes we'll wear hoodie or not hoodies, a
quarter zip.
Quarter zips or golf shirts that say Cam Rogers Live on it. He will also deliberately network with people and tell people that he's on TV, and then if he doesn't,
he'll network about his networking. That's what he'll do. That's what Cam Rogers does. All right, he's gonna fit Cam Rogers. Cam is gonna fit Cam into the conversation, and it's not in like a douchebag way. Like you think, oh, narcissistic media guy, he's got to be the worst. He's got to be a douchebag. No. He's just a guy that is playing the game in a different way, which is always fascinating to me to see this type of approach where it's just so honest and so Cam Rogers that you have to respect. This is his code. He has it. He lives by it. I respect it. Saturday, mm-hmm. I was dirt bagging it up in DC, just day drinking, having a good day, going to, the home of the dirt bags, the bullpen. Joe, maybe you would like it. It's a little, it's basically a football field size piece of pavement surrounded with, the carriers, like shipping containers that you would unload at the docks. There's a stage, there's bars around. It's just where you would go to pregame for the Nats game. And sometimes you could just go day drink there. So we did that. And we're pretty far into the day. We're having a good one. Talking to some fellas. It's crowded, getting bumped, spilling drinks, all the hits.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to my left. Just, medial conversation. I just start, just wandering eyes. Just let's check it out. Out of, 1,000 people in this place, give or take a couple hundred. I see Cam Rogers' face emerge out of nowhere. Like you could hear the angels singing and the spotlight drops right on the Cam Rogers' face. And he's just having a conversation. Not only that, he's in Nats colors, red, white, navy, blue. That's what everyone's kind of wearing. Okay. If you're not, you're kind of wearing a white t-shirt, maybe a black t-shirt. He's wearing the brightest aquamarine teal blue polo shirt I've ever seen. You couldn't stand out more at this game. The opposing team, the Astros, white, navy, orange. He's sitting here in teal, big Cam Rogers face, having a day. And I say, oh my God, I got to go see him. Walk up to him, pat him on the shoulder. He hasn't noticed me. I said, hey, you Cam Rogers from TV? And he turns around like, yeah, yeah, I am. And it took him a moment. He's like, oh, no. Sean. No. And I'm like, oh, yes. No. I got the no. auto response.
Oh.
It might have been, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I got the default before he recognized, oh, Sean just hit me with a bit of a bit. I mean, it's not really a bit, but it was great. I got it. I got what it felt like to see his initial light up. His initial greeting, both were pleasant and nice and fun, but it was great. And then he kicked it in to just, oh, yeah, let's have a little bit of a convo.
You're kind of a bad person for doing that. But I
what
also
do you mean?
I also respect you for doing that.
Cam loves it. He's so, you think he doesn't want to be sitting with his friends, and even if it is a coworker peer area, uh-huh, for me to at least be doing some shtick with him, I think that was fine. Because you won't believe this. Another guy came up and recognized Cam.
He's an employee, I believe. Or not an employee, he's a host of the show, he hosts the Browns show, I believe. That was what I referenced in that text.
I left that guy. I think I said what's up to him. Maybe I could have had more of a conversation, but I had to get a picture with Cam. The picture was just, I know I couldn't put my whole face in it because Cam had his whole face in it. So I just had to snap it real quick. But it was delightful to see a just natural Cam Rogers sighting in the public.
Are you going to miss the opportunity to run into Cam Rogers when we move up to New Jersey?
I think I'm still going to be able to find Cam Rogers somewhere. I could be at the Borgata, and I feel like Cam Rogers could just be there. I could be, you know, just at, you know, anywhere he'll be there. But I should have known. It was the first gorgeous Saturday in DC. Everybody was out. Bridge was crowded. We knew it was going to be. So we were just like, there's going to be a ton of people out. So I did see a lot of people I know, but Cam was the friendliest face that I did see from someone that I did know out. So it was always a pleasure to see him. But Cam, I got you. I saw how you interact with the fans. I'll always remember that.
See, as we're trying to reshape the direction and the framing of the show, like the show progressively eventually is going to look more and more different. I want to figure out a way that we can keep Cam Rogers tied into the show.
We both follow him.
No, but like, should we do like a weekly guest spot with him? Like, should we have him on once a week?
You know what? I don't need.
I think you and I are on the same wavelength enough to know that I'm not bringing him on to get his betting takes. You understand just, what I'm saying quick, without me saying?
You know
it?
What? A quick hit of a Cam week, because if Tony P in DC wasn't a thing, it would be Cam Rogers in DC. Like that's kind of where we're.
I did bring that aligning up to him once. I think Cam
is cooler than Tony P. I will say this forever.
Oh,
Cam Rogers cooler than Tony P by a mile.
Have you met Tony P yet?
I saw him in line at a place. I didn't. Everyone was. It's crazy. People were coming up to him asking him for pictures. I said, I'm not on TikTok. I'm not gonna go talk with him. But yeah,
I really hate that guy. I want to fight nice that dude. Guy. I don't care. I want to fight him.
One of my roommates is in a weekend recap with Tony P because they're on the same flag football team.
What is that? Oh, he's been in one of the I want to hit him so hard. I want to hit him so hard. I am not I'm not somebody who is, if anything, I was bullied growing up. I'm also not somebody that directly seeks out physical violence towards people. But there's like a really small list of people. There's like three people that like on site. I think I have to hit him.
Have to hit him?
He just sucks.
He's a nice.
I know he sucks.
Well,
he's
I
can't explain it. He's just
He doesn't have the edge that both and I enjoy. Both you and I, we enjoy somebody with a little bit of edge. He's zero edge, which I think a lot of people enjoy. I don't like that he's coming down to DC. It wasn't Tony P in NYC. I have no clue if it was or wasn't. But now he's Tony P in DC, and he thinks everybody in DC is like that. No, we're not. A good amount of them are. A lot of the Govies are. If you're working at staffing, you're not staffing. Maybe if you're working on the Hill, you're a little bit like that. But look, we're not all cornballs down here. There's a lot of them, but we're not all cornballs.
Yeah, it makes it hard to believe like that. Cornballs. It makes it hard to believe that the way that he looks and acts. All right, back to some dirtball topics. Man, living spaces. The new segment that we're doing every couple of weeks whenever we find a new good male living space. So there was this picture of an apartment, like a loft style apartment that was posted. The ideal male living space doesn't exist. And said picture was of this just massive apartment.
Decadent. So much seating.
Really chairs, really I'm nice seeing kitchen.
You could sit about 20 people right here in the main foyer living room area. Everyone's got a seat. Huge problem.
And there were so many people that weighed in on this saying that like, oh, this is a guy's apartment in a rom-com. And honestly, this apartment's fine. It looks very nice. Be cool to live there. The counter response to this, though, is Uncle Ruck tweeted out, the woke mob wants you to believe this isn't the ideal male living space.
Oh, Joe, it's not Uncle Ruck. It's Uncle Runk.
Runk. My fault. Thank you for the correction. Difference. But the picture that you're seeing on the screen, I have no idea. It's even better. There's a picture of this. I would assume this is Uncle Runk is sitting in the chair. Just a wooden chair. Not a lot of cushioning going on.
None.
Got bare socks on the hardwood. Socks on the hardwood is an interesting decision. I can see a
love it.
Nice bundle of cords in the far right by the door. Mm-hmm. There is a power strip that is not hidden by the TV console. There is a black TV console with nothing in it, and then there is a large TV playing Seinfeld. Jesus Christ, Seinfeld with George Costanza in frame. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is great. Go ahead.
I'm gonna say, actually, I got too much of a breakdown. Please continue. I've got to poke a lot of holes in this male living space.
All I was gonna say is that this has inspired me. I think in our new apartment, I think that we should. The ideal number is 4 TVs, all on the floor, but 4 TVs. I think that one of them should just be Seinfeld on loop, and it should be the loudest one.
Okay. I think here, first of all, I'm not all in on this male living space. It looks like it just moved in, but I'm going to tell you why I'm saving it, because you see the plastic behind the TV? That's like TV packaging. All right. And the HDMI unplugged. So this is
you're calling him a fraud.
I think that this male living space is definitely fraudulent, because you see the screwdriver in the back, but to male living space plus, this is the first thing that was set up. It was the TV, the dresser, and you got a show on. That's what you should be doing. That's the first setup. But Joe, look at the bottom right here. This is what really wins it over for me. Right in between the legs by the door, that bundle of cords, I'm assuming those are defunct, not working, obsolete extension cables, and also the daisy chain. So you're hauling great cords with you. They're thrown out, they're trash, but they're staying in the room. That's a male living space right there. Got to give them credit.
Yeah, I think every good male living space has a container of just like loose cords, not coordinated, not like, and mine's right there.
I got mine right back here.
Dude, so the framing of this show and all the other shows that I do, you can only really like see the framing of my head and everything. But whenever I do a guest spot, they don't punch in. So every time I do a guest spot, you can see the container that is clearly a bundle of cords. There's also 3 broken Xbox controllers in there that I have thrown and broken from throwing so hard at the ground. Like completely exploded and shattered.
I've got my cord box right here.
That's not big enough.
But Joseph, we are packed to the brim. of cords, a camera that doesn't work, and I haven't been able to make work yet. And then, is there a phone in here? Yeah, just a bunch of cords, bunch of terrible audio cords that don't work that I still have for no reason.
I have, it is like a foldable box, that very cheap box that I stole from the Believe office when we moved out. It's just got a bunch of XLR cables. It's got a bunch of loose just like plugs and stuff like that. I have no idea some of the shit that's in there. And then underneath it, I've got a plastic container from when I moved in that I have not opened. Like, it's just a bunch of extra stuff that I was like, I'm going to open.
That's what's causing the stench?
Shut up. The,
you were telling me you were having stench issues.
Yeah, because there's a piece of chicken that I made back in the end of January. And I don't know what to do with it. But that's a good question. We'll wrap the show on this. Do I throw that container just out? Or do you think it's salvageable? It's one of those things where I just keep kicking it down the road. I've thrown out a lot of plastic containers with old food in it. Do you think it's at least been January. It might be longer than that.
There's actually a piece of chicken in that thing.
You want me to go get it?
I need to see that piece of chicken more than anything I've ever needed before in my life. What a little pack rat you are. Oh my God. All he's been talking about is living together and I got to be on my P's and Q's with rent. And I got to keep the utilities cool. I can't be hogging the dryer. And now you're bringing back pack rat
smells.
Chicken. Oh, that's foul. Joseph, get that out of the screen now. Okay. You're so foul.
Oh, this needs to get thrown out.
I feel like I can smell it now. That's a bit, that's atrocious.
I'm going to throw this out. At Joe DeLeo, at Sanderson Radio. Thank you. Oh, God, I need to throw this out.
You're such a slob. Throw it up.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.